The first lesson is from Ruth chapter 1 verses 1 to 18. Elimelech's family goes to Moab. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man in Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and stayed there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabab wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons or her husband. Naomi and her Moabite daughters-in-law. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the land of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. This ends the Old Testament reading. The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. The First Commandment. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbour as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Bible has many ways of communicating the story of God's relationship with humanity. It's through stories, through poems, through parables, wise sayings, conversations that are caught and recorded. Our story today began with a famine, moving that Jewish family of a father, a mother and two sons out of Bethlehem into the country of Moab. And we know that story so well in some ways, but I wonder how well we do know it. It's a lovely story of faithfulness between Ruth and Naomi. Eugene Peterson, in his introductory words to the book of Ruth in The Message, writes, In its artful telling of this outsider widow, uprooted and obscure, who turns out to be the great-great-great-grandmother of David and ancestor of Jesus, this Ruth makes it possible for each of us to understand ourselves as irreplaceable in the full telling of God's story. This story reminds us that we count, each and every one of us, and what we do counts. The book of Ruth is a love story with love of neighbour written large throughout the story. Because you see, love is not so much what we feel or even what we do. Love is when we allow love with a capital L to work through us, in us and around us. It's interesting to note that Jesus' command that we love our neighbours seems to be dependent upon how we love ourselves. Love of self or self-acceptance, self-affirmation is a necessary prerequisite for loving others. We can't possibly love others if we can't love ourselves. We cannot give to others if we do not believe that we ourselves have something worth giving. How we feel about ourselves will affect the way we live out that command to love. In the gospel reading, Jesus is in conversation with that man about what is the greatest commandment, and he replies the well-known commandment to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus says to him, "You have answered well. You are not far from the kingdom of God." And in our worship this morning at 8:15, I was reminded that "you're not far" shows perhaps that this person understood the words, understood them very well. They were very much part of who they were, but were they living it out? Maybe the "you are not far from the kingdom" is because he needed to take the next step of living out that love. It's when we live out love of neighbour and of ourselves, that we become, that we step into the kingdom of God. That we become part of that realm of heaven. We become part of God's way of being. It's much more than just knowing the words in here or even in here. It's about living it out, actually making a difference. God's love is visionary. It perceives who we are behind the mask that we all put on. God's love sees us for who we are as individuals, unique, unrepeatable. But God's love does not just seek value, it creates value. We are part of God's love, each and every one of us. That makes each and every one of us valuable. It means and makes what each and every one of us does incredibly important. We need to ask ourselves time and time again, oh, did I act out of God's love at that point? Or do I perhaps need to act differently? We all make mistakes. We all get things wrong. We all stumble and fall. That's part of life. It's part of being human. The important part is, as we pick ourselves up, do we just justify or do we step into the kingdom? Maybe we need to set things right. Maybe we need to find ways of ensuring that we do love one another as God loves us. When we recognize our value as a gift rather than an achievement, when we realize that each one of us has a gift, it's not because we have value because we are loved. We are loved by God because we are valuable. We are called to love one another because each one of us is valuable. And we look around at our world, our society, wherever we see barriers going up, fences being created, walls going up, borders being closed, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to love? What does it mean to love our neighbour? What does it mean to love others as God loves us and as God loves them? When Jesus talked about loving God and neighbour, he wasn't saying anything new to the religious people of his day. The religious leaders of his day especially, they especially knew he was saying nothing new. After all, they were steeped in the law. The words had become codified in scrolls. It had become something that they even worshipped. But Jesus was trying to prise loose the words from those scrolls, to take the words out of the book and make it a living word in their lives. It's not words that need to remain on a page, but words that need to be lived out. These days, a person's worth is so often judged in terms of their achievements, or the size of their bank balance, or their intellect, or the colour of their skin, or their sporting abilities. And we could name more and more. But it's all wrong. It's all wrong. Our value, our worth, is that we are loved by God and made in God's image. And as we look at our neighbour, as we look at the person sitting next to us, their value, their worth, is because they are loved by God, as we are loved by God. And as we look at our world around us and we see people in need throughout the world, as we watch the news, we need to remind ourselves again and again, they are loved by God, just as we are loved by God. They are our neighbour, just as we are their neighbour. When we take Christ seriously, when we acknowledge that every person, every woman and child is our neighbour, our brother, our sister, then we have to reach out and communicate that love in practical and inclusive terms. When I was at Blackwood, as a church community, we learned a lot about love from a group of adults who suffered from a variety of challenging disabilities, who were either bussed in or walked to church every Sunday. We probably thought that we did do everything we could to live out Jesus' command to love one another as he loved us. But it actually took Tony. It took Tony to show us how lacking in love we really were, in actually displaying and affirming that love. Tony had Down syndrome. He was about 35. And at morning tea following the service, people would normally just stand around chatting. Well, on this particular Sunday, one elderly woman who had spent many, many years in a loveless marriage was Tony's target. Tony just marched up to her and threw his arms around her and gave her a big hug. And Tony didn't let go. And this normally very reserved woman at first seemed horrified and was like this. But then she began to almost melt as she accepted the hug that was given to her for no other reason. Tony was responding to this very same reading. Love our neighbour as we love ourselves. That's why this story, I suddenly remembered how Tony had shown us how to love. She and then returned the embrace to Tony. And I'll swear that there were tears in her eyes. And there were tears in many of us who were watching on. It was one of those moments that just happened. And you know how it just all goes quiet? And everyone noticed. Funny, after that, there were a number of people who went up and hugged other people. There were people who realised that there were things going wrong that they hadn't dealt with and they needed to say, and they sorted it out. Morning tea would never ever be the same again. In our Old Testament reading, Ruth's courage to act came from her heart, from her capacity to love, even in the face of uncertainty. It enabled her to overcome the consequences, to go where she believed God was leading her. Tony acted like that as well, doing what he did best, just giving love where his heart felt it was needed. Surely all of us can do likewise, especially when we realise those words are addressed to each one of us today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. We need to remember that our future as individuals, our future as a church, our future as a nation, as a world, is dependent upon us living out these commands. And you know, it starts with us. And it begins today. Amen.